You know, we've been studying in the book of Acts. We've been going through the book of Acts and trying to see all the things that we find with the church and its new direction and the way the Lord has led the disciples, his apostles particularly, in building and going forth, spreading that gospel, getting it out. And we've come to the place now where in chapter number 10, the Lord is still using Peter. Now, God's still always a God of order. He's always a God of what he says he will do, he does. He's always a God that has and always will have a plan, and he'll see that through in everything that he does. And sometimes, you know, if it was me and you, we would certainly do things in a little different way. We'd do it, well, because this is handy or this is what seems right to us. But that doesn't matter. As I say, God's a God of order. And I'd probably preach a whole message on just that thought. God is a God of order because he is. He has ordered things in the world in such a way that it boggles our minds if you really think about it. I tell you, one of the little simple things that you can think of, if you will sit down sometime with a piano and all the keys on a piano, there are 11 sets of 8 on a regular piano board. There's 88 keys, and they do certain things in a certain way, and they give you all of those different movements of the music that are there from the lower end to the top end, and all of that is done because that's the way God ordered it. And you know, where'd that come from? I'm just telling you, God ordered that. Just like God ordered the 24-hour day and the way the earth moves and how the sun comes up in the east, sets in the west, and we've got all that, you know, it's just the way God has things ordered. So that's who God is. He is a God of order. He's a God of order. So in thinking of that, God has a certain order of things that he wants done, and this book of Acts is going in that motion. And God has put it into purpose and motion. And that's why you see the way that God is using Peter in these chapters that we've studied so far, chapters 1 through 10. Now, as I told you, you're gonna see that God is dealing, of course, primarily in the beginning with Jews. And that's exactly God's order. I mean, what does Paul say? Paul says that the gospel is to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Well, what does that mean? That means God's going to deal with the Jews first. And that's exactly what happens when you begin to read the book of Acts. And as I say, we've already seen a lot of that. So here in Acts chapter number 10, we've already covered maybe the first 20 verses or so. And we know that there's a man by the name of Cornelius that has sent for Peter because the Lord sent an angel to tell him to send for Peter. And Peter listens, and I mean, he hears, and he has this vision of a sheet coming down from heaven that has all of these animals on it, and, you know, it goes through this little process of trying to tell the Lord nothing uncommon or unclean's ever entered into his mouth, and nothing common or unclean. And you know, the Lord finally is talking to him. And as we left off last week, we went through those things, and we talked about how that Cornelius had some light, and how that God was now getting ready to give him more light, and how that Peter had some light, and he's saved, he had some light, but God was beginning to show him some more light. So now I want you to look with me tonight as we look in verses 21. We'll go through verse number 33 in this little section. And we'll say here, the light is getting brighter. The light is getting brighter. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 21. And it talks about how that Peter has come to this place. And you know, the Lord told him, get up and go, doubting nothing, because I've sent these men to you in verse 20. Verse 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then he called them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent unto thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here, present before God, to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the thoughts here before us, the presentation that's given to us, the men that are here to show us some things tonight. And I pray, just give us your wisdom, your direction, your understanding. I pray for those that are listening by way of Facebook. Open this up to them. Help us to hear from you. Help us to all know that you are our Savior and our Redeemer, and that you are still working in the hearts and the lives of men. And again, we'll just carefully give you thanks for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, as I said, I want you to think about this, about the light is getting brighter, okay? We've got the whole picture that seems to be unfolding. As I said, chapter 10, you begin to see Cornelius. He is a man that is a Gentile. As a matter of fact, we're given, you know, a few little particulars about him. He's a centurion. He's in charge of a group of soldiers. He is Italian, Roman, if you will. He is a man that is of some importance. He is a man that is a commander over a group of the centurions, over the soldiers. And he is, you know, he's a pretty big deal. And he has also come into favor with the Jewish people because he has followed the religious practices of the Jews. He's trying to follow the God of the Jewish people. A little bit unusual, but that's what his heart is on. And, you know, where that came from, we don't know. We're not told anything about that. He just tells us that that's what he's doing. That's who he is. That's what he's doing. So we saw Cornelius, and then, as I say, we understood that God appeared to Peter in a vision and showed him some things. And as Peter says here, he said, God showed me that wherever I am, whatever I'm among, especially he was talking about the vision that he had, God told him that whatever God had cleansed, not for him to call it common or unclean, but that he's supposed to deal in the right way. Now, I don't know that Peter understood everything that he should about the vision that he had. I mean, the Bible tells us when he goes through that vision, it happens three times, all right? Three times. We told you before, three's a pretty significant number in the life of Peter. Three times he denies the Lord. Three times the Lord asks him, Peter, lovest thou me? You remember? Three times. And the cock crows three times. And here's Peter denied the Lord. I mean, that three's big in his life. And here, this vision happens three times. And guess what? When he goes down to the door, how many men are there? Well, the Bible tells us that Cornelius has sent one of his soldiers and two of his servants. There's three men down there waiting on him. So that three keeps popping up, and it seems to have some significance. It seems to be a number of something that, you know, God's trying to get his attention. Of course, three is a number that speaks about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It talks about the Trinity. And, you know, again, those things are popping up here in front of Peter. So God's trying to get his attention. And as he does, Peter finally, you know, wakes up, I guess you'd say. So let's look at this. As a man, when you get ready to see these men leave, I want you to notice this. Over in the next chapter, chapter number 11, as Peter's reiterating this story, he says that when he leaves, and you read it here, as he gets ready to leave, there are some brethren that go with him, meaning Jewish brethren that go with him. There are, according to Peter's count, there's six of them. He said, there's six men that left with me from Jerusalem. Six men. All right, Cornelius has got three men, right? He's got two of his servants, one of his soldiers. So that's nine plus Peter means there's 10 men traveling down the road from Joppa, where they pick up Peter and talk to him. He takes some of the brethren with him. So there's 10 men that make this trip. 10 men. Now, 10 in your Bible, believe this or not, is the order, or is the idea, or gives us the idea of earthly order. Things being in order on the earth. God presented this whole thing in order. And he's working through an order. So there are 10 men here, and this is going to Cornelius, because this is what God has ordered. And as I say, the light's getting brighter. First of all, look at this, if you will. I want you to notice, as we read this passage, I want you to see the heart of a true servant, and it's the man by the name of Peter. Peter is a real, true servant of God. I mean, there's some things in the life of Peter here in this particular passage that you and I need to pay attention to. Now, one thing, remember this. Look back in your Bible just for a few seconds. Look back into chapter number 8. Look back at chapter number 8. And you remember the story in chapter number 8. Here's Philip goes out and preaches to the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember that story, chapter number 8? And there he is, he's preaching. And the Ethiopian eunuch is on his way, and he's reading Isaiah. And he gets saved. Y'all remember that? Okay. We went through that several weeks ago. But if you will, it says in verse number 39, and when they were come up out of the water, that man wanted to be baptized. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch is going back to Ethiopia. He's probably, they're in the southern part of the nation of Israel, down in the Gaza desert, down in the southern part. But it says, but Philip was found at Azotus, which was another city in that same area. And passing through, he preached in all the cities, listen, till he came to Caesarea. Now, where do you think Cornelius is? Well, the Bible tells you in verse number 1 there, chapter 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Let me ask you question number 1. Now, we're talking about Peter being a servant of God. Why didn't God, I mean, Philip's right there. Philip's seen the revival in Samaria. Philip has preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he got saved. Why didn't God use Philip? Because God is a God of order. Okay? And I'm telling you, when you look at this, and we'll hopefully see some more of it, you see, first of all, as I said, the heart of a true servant by the name of Peter. I mean, God is going to use Peter because that's God's intention, God's purpose, and again, God's order to use Peter. Well, notice this. You'll notice here that I think we'll see that you see that Peter listens to God. Peter is listening to God. I mean, Peter as a servant, that's one of the marks of a servant. It's somebody that will listen when the Lord calls. Every man you'll see in this Bible that's a real servant of God, what they'll say is, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. I mean, that's what a servant of God is ready to do. He's ready to hear. And somebody said, would you like to be a servant like Peter that was in a situation? You think about Peter's in a situation here that he probably doesn't like, right? He probably is not real excited. I mean, you think about it. The Lord said, I want you to go with these Gentile men and go to another Gentile's house, and I want you to preach over there at the Gentile. Now, again, you and I don't understand this as much as maybe we with that idea. But again, I challenged you here a few weeks ago. Think about your own prejudices. I mean, the Jews were prejudiced against anybody outside the Jewish nation. I mean, they called them names. You know what the most common thing that they called a Gentile was? Called him a dog, right? I mean, you see it in other occasions throughout your Bible. He's calling them dogs. He says, you know, the Jew, looking at the Gentile, he said, he's a dog. You remember the lady that came and wanted Jesus to heal her daughter, and she was a Syrophoenician, which is a Gentile. And Jesus said, should I take the children's meat and give it to the dog? And she said, yay, Lord, I'm a dog. I'll admit I'm a dog, but at least the dogs get the scraps that fall from the master's table. Amen? I mean, and it's a slur. It's a bias. I mean, it's bigotry, whatever you want to call it. I'm telling you, here's Peter, and his prejudice is showing. Because he's like, I don't know about it. But let me tell you about some other guy that did the same thing. Y'all remember a guy by the name of Jonah? Do you know what Jonah did? God said, I want you to go preach to the Ninevites, and here's what I want you to preach. As a matter of fact, you think about Jonah, the message Jonah had wasn't the good news of Jesus, is the bad news of judgment, wasn't it? 40 days and Nineveh's going to be blown off the face of the earth. You know what Jonah said? Nope, I'm not going to do it. Matter of fact, what did he do? Well, he did the same thing Peter did. He went to Joppa. If you go check it out, he went down to Joppa and was going to jump a ship and run down to Tarshish from there. That's where he wanted to go. He wanted to catch a boat. And he did. He got on a boat, paid his fare, got on there. But you know, God had other plans. And God upset his plan. But what I'm saying is, look, here is the same situation. But aren't you glad? And I'm thankful, and I pray that I'd be a servant like Peter. Peter said, okay, Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening. So Peter does listen when the Lord calls him. And he listens to those men that are sent to him. You remember, it says, here's Peter. He comes down off the roof. The Lord has told him in verse number 20, arise therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And, I mean, the Lord talked to Jonah too, but Jonah said, I ain't going to do it. Here Peter does. It said Peter went down to the men which were sent to him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am him who you see. What is the cause wherefore you're come? What are y'all here for? Now, I believe that's almost an unnecessary question that he asked, because he ought to know what they were for. They were there because God had sent them because of what he had said to Cornelius. And there was something he needed to go back and preach and tell Cornelius. So there's the fact that you see Peter listening. I mean, that makes him a good servant of God. Second of all, I want you to realize this. Peter is learning some things. A good servant will learn. A good servant. Peter learned something. What did he learn? Well, let me tell you. He learned that when God is opening a door, brother, go on through it. When God gives you an opportunity, take it. When God is in charge and showing you something, then you ought to respond in a real positive and a real, okay, Lord, I'm good with it. Let's go kind of manner. I mean, that's what he did. God, he found out what he says is this. God is no respecter of person. Look in verse number 34, and that's exactly what he says. When he's getting ready to go with these men, Cornelius has presented what he's thinking about and what happened to him. In verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't care about these biases, these bigotries, these prejudices that you and I have. God doesn't care. Now let's just kind of flip this around this way a little bit. And what if God sent somebody to you? And I don't know, maybe you had the same kind of thing happen to you that happened to Peter. God sends you something, but you're not real sure about what all it's saying and what it means. But all of a sudden, about three Iranians show up at your door. And they say, we want to come in and talk. Now, how many of y'all going to the gun closet and grabbing something first and say, well, okay, here, I'll be right back and we'll talk? I mean, you think about that. You know, I mean, it'd be difficult, I'd say, for any of us. For any of us. And I think about a real funny story that happened here in the church. And it's been several years ago. And I'm not going to tell you who said it, but there was a fella in the church coming to me after the service. And I mean, I could tell he was really seriously concerned. He asked me, he said, there was somebody here in the church, and it was a fella that was visiting. And he sat over on this side of the church, and he's sitting by himself, basically. And he looked at me, he said, do you know him? And I said, no, sir, I don't know him. I said, but I think somebody else near the church knew him. He said, you sure? He said, did you notice him? The fella had a full, fluffy beard and kind of short, cropped hair, probably in his 30s, and he had darker skin. He looked at me, and he said, that man's a Muslim. And I said, you sure? He said, yeah, he's a Muslim. He's probably sitting in here. He ain't no telling what he's going to do in this church. I'm like, no. I said, I don't think so. And, you know, just go through the whole story. You find out this guy is somebody that works with somebody here at the church, and he had invited him to come to church. But you see how those prejudices sometimes can kick on. And this guy was, he's as country as cornbread. I mean, he wouldn't know, you know, any kind of foreign language or anything like that. But sometimes our prejudices get a hold of us like that, don't they? I mean, we see something and we're ready to react. Okay, well, you imagine, that's Peter. I mean, here's these guys, what are they? Well, they're Gentiles. And we don't have any dealings with Gentiles, right? We don't have any. That's the Jewish national anthem right there. We got our four and no more. Amen. That's kind of like Baptists in that respect. It's just us and we don't want nobody else, right? That's the way they were. So here is Peter, and Peter has, as I say, Peter's listening, and finally Peter's learning some things. He says, I have perceived that God is no respecter of person. If God wants to send them and they need Christ and they need to get saved, then maybe I ought to get with the program. And he's developing that heart of a servant. You see Peter as he's listening, you see Peter as he is learning. And then you do see that, you see Peter leaving. Peter leaving. I mean, he gets over whatever's got a hold of his thinking, and he gets with it. I mean, the Bible says, look, just look through this for a minute and notice this. It says, verse 21, Peter went down to the men. That would be an unusual step. Again, he's a Jew, and they're Gentiles. He went down to them. He said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What's the cause, therefore, that you're come? As a matter of fact, think about this. Look at this. Look at this picture. Here are two servants of Cornelius, plus a Roman soldier. That kind of gets your attention there too, wouldn't it? I mean, they knew who the Roman soldiers were. They'd been around. The Roman soldiers were the ones that came and got Jesus and took him and crucified him. The Roman soldiers had caused them other difficulties and problems. The Roman soldiers were somebody they were afraid of. And now here's one standing in front of them. And he says, I want you to go with me. Well, that kind of, I don't know about that. Amen. Y'all like for the IRS guy to come to your house and say, come with me? You want the FBI folks to come to your house and say, I need for you to come with me? I mean, does that not little bit stir something up on the inside of you and me? Would it? Yes, it would. Well, here's a guy that's a soldier. Here's a couple other guys that are strangers. They're all Gentile. And they're saying, we want you to come with us. And Peter's like, well, you see what he does. He talks with them. He says, where are you coming from? And they tell him Cornelius, and they explain their story. A man that fears God, and good report among those other Jews where we're from, warned by God to send for you and to hear words of thee, he says. And look what it says in verse 23, something very unusual. Then he called them in and lodged them. He fed them, and he let them come into that house, and he let them stay all night, which was a very un-Jewish thing to do. Okay? Something unusual is going on. And could you imagine? Now, you know, little sister busybodies outside on the street there. Y'all see over there? There's a bunch of, there was a Roman soldier and some guy, and they're going in that house. They don't tell them what's happening over there. Right? They're probably all going to be under arrest. They'll take that Peter fellow that's over there, and they'll take that other Simon, the town. They're going to take, well, you know, could you imagine the uncomfortable conversation that's going on inside the house? I mean, they're sitting there trying to eat. And here's Peter looking at the soldier, and he's like, I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, and the soldier's looking at him. He don't know what to say. But finally, somebody breaks the ice, and they begin to talk, and they begin to discuss, you know, why are you here? Well, I'm here because here's a man by the name of Cornelius that has sent us, and God's warned him. And pretty soon, maybe the conversation begins to thaw, and the relationship begins to develop, and there's a little bit more give and take in things that are said and done. And do you know what? It can happen that way with me and you, too. And, I mean, you've seen it. You've done it. I'll tell y'all this, and, you know, probably to my shame, but I can remember many years ago when I was in high school, the first time that I ever shook hands with a black person. And y'all know what I did? I shook hands with him, and then I pulled my hand back, and I looked at it. And he looked at me, and he smiled. He said, "It don't rub off." I said, well, praise God. Anyhow. I mean, isn't that silly? That's stupid. But that's the way we react on some of these things, right? And that's exactly what Peter has done. I mean, but now God is showing him some things. And it says he calls them in. He lodges them for the night, and then the next day, look, it says Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Him and another group of Jews are going with these three Gentiles, and here they go. They're headed out for the place called Caesarea. Here they're on the road. Peter leaves. He goes with them. I mean, with some of the brethren, he takes them, and they're going on a mission for the things of God. Do you see that he did take some of the brethren with him? Now, whatever you want to think about that, some folks say, yeah, he's scared, and he didn't want to go by himself. I don't know. I think he took them to be a witness of whatever God was going to be doing in that moment. Whatever God was getting ready to do, he needed some witnesses there for that to come back. Because Peter could come back, and it's like, yeah, well, in Jewish thinking, Jewish law, what does the Bible tell us? That every testimony is established with two or three witnesses. You know what Peter did? He said, I'm just going to take six, and we'll be safe. Amen? So he's got six Jewish men with him to be the witnesses of what God's doing. Okay, so there's Peter, and you can see the heart of Peter as a servant, the heart of a servant. But now I want you to see, let's look at Cornelius, and let's talk about the heart of a true seeker. We've seen the heart of a true servant. Let's see the heart of a true seeker. Now, you see Cornelius represented here. When Peter comes to him, it says in verse 24, and on the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet, and he worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And notice what Peter said. And he said to them, Peter said, you know how that it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And then Cornelius goes into his story of why he's coming. But I want you to see the heart of a man that is truly seeking God. I want you to know that. First of all, you see that Cornelius, like Peter, is listening. The Lord has spoken to him. God has sent an angel to speak to him and said, here's what you need to do. And Cornelius is listening. Can I tell you, a real seeker, a real sinner, a real person that needs God, man, they're going to listen when the Lord talks. That's exactly what you find in every one of the scriptures. When Jesus would talk to people and ask them, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to get right? What do you need? What's going on? And Jesus would save these folks because they needed Him. They were truly seeking some help. You remember the rich young ruler, though, that came to Jesus and he said, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, here's the commandments. And he said, I've done all those. He said, then just one thing you lack, sell everything you got, give it to the poor, take up your cross, follow me. And he went away sorrowful. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it because the Bible said he had great possessions. He had a lot of wealth and power through that and the influence, all that. He couldn't give it up. But what I'm saying is a real seeker, they're going to listen when God says whatever he said. And here, there's been given to Cornelius a call to salvation. Now, if you'll look back and see what it says that this angel comes to him and tells him that, he says in verse number 4 of this chapter, he saw the angel and he said, when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And if you'll look on over in chapter number 11, and we'll get to it here in just a little while, but in chapter number 11, Peter's reiterating what Cornelius has told him. And he said, you're to send for Peter and he's going to say some words. He's going to tell you about salvation. He's going to tell you about, and you need to listen to him. And aren't you glad that Cornelius listened? Cornelius listened. He is listening. I mean, look, when he sent for Peter, he wasn't just wanting information on Jewish religion. He wanted to know about salvation. He wanted to know the truth. He wanted to know the gospel. You know what that does right there? If you'll see that, here's Cornelius. He's trying to serve God. He's trying to pray. He's trying to give. He's doing all of these things. But you know what God shows him? What you got ain't enough. Right? What you have is not going to get you into heaven. Do you know what that tells me? One religion's not as good as the other. People are telling, oh, well, preacher, their stuff's just as good as our stuff. No, it's not. Why in the world would God have sent for Peter to come down and talk to Cornelius if what he was doing was okay and is going to get him into heaven? It wasn't, and it wasn't. That's why. Because he needed more than just what he was doing. He was a good man. You read that and you say, he was a good man. He was one that feared God. He was one that gave alms. He was one that prayed prayers. He was one that worshiped. He was doing all the things that he knew to do, but it wasn't what God said to do. So what I'm saying is this, one religion is not as good as the other. Well, preacher, I think if they just sincerely believe, it'll be all right. Oh, every road leads to God. Oh, everybody's worshiping the same God. They just call him by a different name. That's a bunch of hogwash. It ain't right. I'm telling you. One religion. I mean, God proves it right here. One way's not as good as another. You've got to come God's way. And again, you've got to see that Cornelius is listening. But not only that. You see that Cornelius is learning. Just like Peter learned some things, Cornelius learned some things. What did he learn? He learned that there is a seeking Savior that's looking for a seeking sinner. Amen? The Bible tells us, Luke, and wherever you find it, over in Luke 19, he said that the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is looking for sinners. Jesus has come to say, and you remember Brother Sprague talks about that threefold parable that Jesus talks about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son, and there's somebody out there hunting and seeking, and it's the Savior looking for those which are lost. And he said, now I say unto you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that is found. Over, man, I'm telling you, you and I ought to get excited when somebody gets saved. When somebody gets saved. And here's Cornelius. I mean, he's learning. He's learning that he's a sinner. I mean, he's learning. Look over in chapter number 11 just real quickly. And you'll see that Cornelius is telling him what he should do. And verse number 13. Look at verse chapter 11, verse 13. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. This is Peter talking about Cornelius, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. I mean, he's looking. He's looking. He's expecting something. And now God has sent it. So you see, Cornelius is listening. Cornelius is learning. And then finally, notice this, Cornelius is looking. He has sent for Peter And he's sitting there. He can't wait till Peter gets back. Do you notice that? While all of this is going on, it says in verse number 24, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. I mean, he's all excited. Boy, they're coming. Oh, Peter's going to come here. He said, I don't know what he's going to tell us, but I want everybody to hear it. He calls his friends, his kinfolk, everybody get in here because something's going to happen when this man gets here. Something's going to happen. He is looking for something to happen. And then notice what it says, verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now you say, wow, he's all messed up. Well, sure he is. You know why? Because he don't know the Lord. And he doesn't know all these things that he needs to know about the Lord. I mean, I got no problem with that. Do you know, if you think about this, here's Cornelius. Okay, Peter's a good Jew, right? Well, Cornelius is a good Gentile. Cornelius is a centurion. But do you know what every Roman citizen was required to do many times? Whenever they got in the presence of their leader, which would have been one of the Caesars, whichever one it was, maybe at this time it was Augustus, whichever Caesar, you know what they'd have to do? They bowed before the Caesar as if they were to worship him. He demanded that of his people because he would call himself a god. And Cornelius didn't know any better. He thought, well, Peter, he must be some kind of, you know, big wheel. God must have a whole lot invested in him. He must be somebody in the presence of God. If God's going to send for him and send him over, maybe I ought to fall down and he's some kind of high and mighty and I need to show some respect. Maybe he should show some respect. But Peter, and I'm glad he does this, he picks him up, he said, look, get up. He said, I'm just a man like you are. I'm nobody special. I'm just a servant of the living God. You know, that's what Peter didn't come in and said, yep, I'm a celebrity. I'm a big shot. I'm the star of the show. You see some preacher like that, you better run. Amen? Because we're nothing. I am simply a servant of the Lord sent to help and however I can in folks' lives by giving them the Word of God. I ain't nobody. You ain't nobody. And none of us is nobody. Jesus is what it's all about. Amen? And the quicker we learn that, the better off we'll be. Right? So Peter says, look, I'm not to be worshipped. I'm nobody. Amen? But you'll see other times in the Bible when an angel shows up and some men fall down and try to worship him, and they'll say, nope, get up. I'm just a servant. I'm just a messenger. I'm just somebody trying to help you. You don't worship me. Amen. The only one we should worship is the Lord Jesus himself. So Cornelius is looking, and he's looking for somebody to come in because the Lord said he's going to send him, and the Lord said he'd help him to get saved. So you see, the heart of a servant. You see the heart of a true seeker. And I want you to notice this. I want you to see the heart of this true story. This whole story is about Jews and Gentiles. That's what this whole story is about. I want you to notice this. This chapter has 48 verses. Chapter number 10 has 48 verses. That's a long chapter. And it's all about this interaction between Cornelius, Peter, and the presentation of the gospel. Well, what does that tell you? I'll tell you, it tells me that it's important. As a matter of fact, some of this stretches on into the next chapter, which tells that's pretty important. There are some things in your Bible that gets two or three verses and you're through it. But this has got to be an important issue for some reason. Well, why is it important? Well, I think you'll see this. First of all, you'll see that God is giving this to all of us as his model. This is God's model of how the gospel and God's working goes. I mean, he's just trying to show this whole thing. We see the gospel, if you'll look in this that we've been reading, where does it go first? Chapter number 2 of the book of Acts. You see Peter standing up on the day of Pentecost, and all of these Jews there in Jerusalem round about them, and they come and they see those men, and all of those that are worshiping see Peter stand up and all the others, and they hear them speak the words of God in their own language, right? And that's Jews. And what? 3,000 of them get saved on that day. So there it is. It's to the Jew first. To the Jew first. But you remember in chapter number 8, you know, we talked about Philip. What was Philip doing before he went down to the Ethiopian eunuch? He was in Samaria. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, then go to Judea. And they'd already been there, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Now, chapter number 8, you see the gospel go to Samaria, and you see the Samaritans turn away from that old crazy guy in there named Simon that was the sorcerer that had held a hold over them with his sorcery and his tricks and all that he was doing. They left that behind and they got saved, and Peter was having a revival right there in Samaria. So much, Philip was having a revival, so much that he had to send for Peter to come help him. And some of the brethren came up here and they preached, and you know the story. They told Simon, that guy that was trying to trick everybody, they told him, Peter said, thy money perish with you. He said, you don't have any partner law. You're a devil and you better get right with God. Amen? So what do you say? I'm saying there is revival in Jerusalem. They'd been working in the area around about Judea. Now they're working in the area of Samaria. And now what are they doing? They're going to the uttermost. They're going to a place that is absolutely Gentile. Caesarea was a city that was built by King Herod in that day. King Herod, as a city to honor, well, look at the name of it, Caesarea. What do you think? Chop off part of it and you see Caesar. He has built this lavish city in honor of the king, Caesar, in honor of the Roman emperor. And it's a lavish place. It's got palaces. It's got soldiers. It's got, all kinds of niceties. I mean, it's a port city. It's by the sea. It's beautiful. It's got all this wonderful stuff. And here it is, full of Gentiles. Full of Gentiles. And so what has God done? He's given it to the Jew first. Then he went to Judea. Then he's gone to Samaria. And now we're going to the uttermost part. They're taking the gospel out there. And again, remember I said in the beginning, God is a God of order. Jew, further to the Jew, Samaria, and now to the Gentiles. It is the model that God has got set up. We just happen to be in that day and age when we're in the place where it ought to be everywhere, right? The gospel goes everywhere. That's the way God set up, and this was his model. So second of all, not only do you see this is God's model, let's look at God's man. What did God tell Peter that he was going to do for him? I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and I'll give unto you what? The keys of the kingdom. Who do you think is God has put in the place of presentation above every other thing that's gone? Peter. Peter goes into Jerusalem and he preaches. Peter is called by Philip when he begins to preach the gospel there and things begin to happen. He goes into Samaria because Philip has called him. And things begin to happen in Samaria with Peter's presence there. Philip then leaves and goes to the Ethiopian eunuch and he gets saved. But I'm saying, you see, Peter's used the keys. Peter's using the keys. And now one more time, God said, Peter, I want you to use the keys. And we're about to turn them over to a man named Paul. Right? But Peter, goes in here to Caesarea, preaches to Cornelius, and he gets saved. We'll read about that the next time, but I just want you to see that's God's model. God's man is Peter at this particular time. Peter first, and then it's going to move on to Paul. Then I want you to notice, you see God's model, you see God's man, I want you to notice God's message. The message is always the same. When Peter started preaching in Jerusalem, it was that you've killed the Prince of Glory. You've killed Jesus. Your people have killed. But God raised him up again, and he ever lives. Amen. He's alive forevermore, and the only way you can get saved. Peter says, there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. He's preaching what? The gospel. He preaches it in Jerusalem. He preaches it in Samaria, and now he's preaching it to the Gentiles. God's message. And you know what? The message still is the same today. It has not changed. It's the same thing, and it's still what will take care of the sin problem in our world today. Oh, preacher, we're living 2022, nearly 2023, and it's worse now. I guarantee you it's worse now than ever. But I can tell you, Jesus is still the answer for every question that will ever come up. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something tonight. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart, and you need to come pray about some things, but I'm glad God showed us the heart of a true servant, the heart of a true seeker, and the heart of this true story, that God's still in control and He's still got a way and an order for things to be done. Amen. If you need to pray, maybe you're there on Facebook. You need to pray there where you're at. That's okay. Just let us know. Send us a message. Tell us that you had some prayer time, that you had a prayer need, or that you do have one. You can send it to our Facebook page, and we'll be glad to pray with you about those things. Let's stand, if you would. What are we going to sing, Brother Ron?